You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. This is Features Editor John Gentile, and I'm here with co-head editor M. Moore. M. Moore, what's happening? What's going on?
All exciting stuff. I'm running on like 2 hours of sleep, but it's good. It's all exciting. Well, working towards cool stuff.
Very cool. It's sort of near the end of the summer, or the summer as we think of it, and that means news tends to be a little slow. So this episode is going to be a little short. We're going to cover some news stuff. But right about now, and then right before and right after Christmas are pretty much the slowest times of the year. There's some news going around, but really nothing crazy, and really nothing that crazy happens. So, do you prefer to write, to talk and read and discuss, like, so-and-so's going on tour, so-and-so's got a new album coming out, or so-and-so's been indicted on fraud or something like that?
The album announcements are always a little bit more fun to talk about, but there's a lot more meat on the juicier stories, shall we say.
I like the criminal stories and that kind of, because I'm speculating on albums can be fun, but at this point, there's more to discuss and tear apart on either acquisitions, like the purchase of Fat Records, or someone's got criminal trouble, or a band's broken up. So to me, those tend to make more interesting conversations. That being said, there's always stuff to talk about. So let's talk about a little bit of stuff. Let's see. Well, we had Moira Weaver on last week. We debuted her new video.
Yay!
The new video is called Museum Glass. It's cool. The song is kind of country. Actually, I was kind of surprised. The song's kind of country. I thought it was cool. I'm definitely excited for Mara's, and she's going on tour too. Let me see when she's going on tour. I'm definitely excited for her new album. It really is kind of an expanse for her, and I think she's got kind of something cool going on. So yeah, did you dig the new Moira Weaver video and song that we debuted at Punk News? That even though we debuted it, and even the PR people asked to debut it, they did not post about it on their side. Which, why?
Rude.
Why? Rude.
If you ask for a premiere, you should be promoting it, because we don't promote it. Like, you need to do it, and then we can share it. We can do stuff like that. But like, it's you're coming to us. Like, we're not a PR firm.
Yeah, honestly, like, so many PR firms are so bad. They're so bad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. I'm not going to name him, but there's a PR guy who's kind of a nice guy, and he's been around a long time, and he represents some larger bands, but he's just terrible at PR in that, like, he'll send over stuff last minute, or he doesn't understand that, yes, we're happy to post about bands no one's ever heard of, which doesn't really do us any good, but we're happy to do. I mean, we're not only in the business of posting about stuff people know. But on the other hand is, when you got something cool, throw us a bone here or there. And he never does that, And he's terrible at sending over. We need the same stuff every time to do a premiere, the same assets.
Yes.
And he never sends him, like, he'll send over two or five, or we'll send him into different emails. It's like, if you're pitching a premiere, you should have stuff ready to go, frankly. And so he's terrible at it. And then there's other PR people that just have, like, no basic communication skill whatsoever, despite the fact that they're in the communication of their business. And then and then near the top tier, you have these PR people now where it's kind of a one-way street, and when they need you, they're like, oh, you're the best, blah, blah, blah. But but then when you reach out to them or whatever, they don't have 5 seconds for you. Interestingly, at the very top of the mountain, if you will, the people that represent the real heavy hitters, I'm not going to say they always give us stuff or whatever, but they're much more communicative. They're much more likely to keep you in mind, and they're much more reasonable than the ones of the people just below them. You know what I mean? Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, yeah. It really is. It's almost like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Would you agree that, and not all PR people are bad, there are some.
Oh, no, no, no. There's some amazing PR people, but amazing PR firms.
On the other side of the equation, our perspective of a good PR firm isn't the PR firm's metric. A PR firm is to get you a lot and good press, So they really, the fact of the matter is, in the 80s and 90s, when publications had all the power, PR companies, were slaves to the publications, frankly, But now that there's social media, that kind of thing, that dynamic has flopped almost the entire other direction. The point being is that just because we don't like a PR firm doesn't mean they're not getting the client what the client wants, because we're not the client. But that being said, and there are some good, and by good PR people, I mean PR people that get the client. There's one PR firm that I'm thinking where it's strictly one-way street, and she kind of treats us like trash when we're not doing something for her, but she gets results for her clients. So in that end, she is a good PR person, I guess. But on the other hand, though, is – well, actually, well, here's the thing, though, is if she reaches out to us and asks us to debut something that no one's ever heard of, my answer is probably going to be no, you know. So the fact of the matter is it's kind of a pyramid scheme is the wrong word, but it's kind of a scheme where the heavy hitters get what they pay for, but the wannabes are throwing their money in the trash, but they think they're buying something quality. You see what I'm saying?
I think so.
With that kind of PR firm. And so anyway, the point being is, where was I going with this? What I'm saying is with PR firms. Oh, so and would you agree that the majority are not good and the minority are good?
I think the majority are good, and it's
really
the minority that aren't, because
I think the majority are bad. I say like 80%, 85% are bad, I say, but go ahead.
Because like the brief time that I was in university, I was studying PR. I was doing stuff like that because it's something that's always like interested me. So it's the people who are doing it well far outweigh the people who are doing it poorly. But the people who are doing it poorly usually have a bigger platform than the people who are doing it really well. So it seems like there's more of them when there really isn't. It's just those are the people who are getting more opportunities in a lot of ways for a variety of reasons.
See, I would say that the bigger PR companies are generally better than the medium PR companies by far. So I kind of disagree with your position there where you say the ones with the bigger platform are worse.
No, I'm not. I don't mean bigger platform in the sense that like they're a large company. I mean bigger platform, like they have kind of more like recognition, whether that's within the indie scene or whether that's in a larger context. But that's just kind of what I meant, not necessarily a large firm or anything that way.
You're saying that PR firms that represent established artists tend to be worse?
No, I'm saying PR people who tend to be known by name can be very iffy.
Oh, I see. You're saying, quote, famous PR people
yes.
generally are not that great.
It depends. Obviously, there's good ones, there's bad ones, but it just depends.
I would agree with that to the extent famous PR people that represent medium-sized bands, I would say, are the flakiest and kind of the worst.
Yep.
I would say, quote, famous PR people that represent the big dogs actually are pretty good, usually, in my response, both in getting the client what the client wants, but also communicating with medium-sized publications like Punk News.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So why are we talking about PR firms again? I mean, I'm annoyed by a lot of them. And some of them...
I think that's how it started, honestly.
Some of them, I got, like, really, I never blacklist a band, ever.
No.
Because even if you've got a jackass PR guy or a jackass label guy, I would never blacklist the band because that's not fair to the band. You know, they don't always know what they're getting into. And even if they do, you know, everyone's got to try to make their way. But that being said, with PR companies, there's a couple PR companies. It's one I'm worth thinking of that plays a lot of funny games. So he is essentially blacklisted. And I would certainly cover bands that if they fit within the Punk News milieu, we would cover. But if it's on the fence, then I'm certainly more likely to pass just because he's always up to funny games. Always, you know. And the funny thing is, Em, is with a lot of these jackass PR companies, they'll do like the shittiest thing. And then like a week later, they're like, oh, can you post about this? And you're like, did you not just do the shittiest thing ever like last week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that works. Short-term memory, right?
Well, speaking of short-term memory, let's talk about... So, anyway, more reviews. You got a new record coming out. It's going to be cool. She was just on the podcast. You should listen to that episode. It was a good episode.
It was great.
Let's see here.
More rocks.
More is cool. Yeah. Drain put out a video for Who's Having Fun. I just don't care about Drain, Em. I don't care about Drain.
So you're not having fun?
Not with Drain.
No. But who are you having fun with? That's the question.
Not Drain. I mean,
Just anyone but Drain.
anyone, but I mean, listen, I'm not trying to beat these guys up too. These guys are not any worse than any number of bands. But I just don't. It sounds like generic 90s alt rock to me. I mean, it almost sounds like Bush to me, and it does sound like
Oh my
Bush.
God, I wouldn't go that far.
I would like, why is this band so popular? Is it because it's four handsome guys? Is that why?
I think because they have like the sense of fun with everything.
That might be it, actually.
Yeah. Like they're not taking anything too seriously. It's like they're fun songs and fun videos, and there's nothing wrong with that, obviously.
But lots of bands have that, though.
Yeah. Well, what's an example of a band that you feel has that but that hasn't been pushed to, I guess, to the extent Drain has?
What's a band that I think is mediocre, but is remaining mediocre? I don't know if I want to just beat up on random. All
Oh,
right, you
no,
asking?
sorry. No, a band that like, because you said a lot of bands have what Drain has, where like they have kind of that fun image or whatever, but they're not as big as Drain. What are some of the bands you think?
Well, not that I'm even a fan. I'm not really a fan, but Bite Me Bambi has a fun image, but they're
Oh,
not as
they're
big
very
as
fun.
Drain, you know? But then their image is kind of a put on. They're kind of like, you can tell it's phony, you know? You know, like here's another example. Cake Clover is fun.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Cake Clover is certainly better than Drain, but Cake Clover is way less popular than Drain. Why?
I don't know.
Is it
Cake
because she's a
Clover
little bit
is
older than
great.
Drain? Is it because Drain is like
Maybe.
24 and she's like 30? And so, I mean,
It's different types of music. Sorry.
Drain fans definitely are like 22, 23, 24. And that's a part of it. I mean, that's always been, you know, meat and potatoes for music business is 18 to 22, you know.
I think it's just a different type of music too, like hardcore, the kind that Drain plays, like is very accessible, and you know, like a lot of Drain's probably a lot of people's gateway band, and like that's really awesome, you know, like to find it. And then Cake Clover has a different sound that is still accessible in a way, but might not be as accessible with the youth.
I mean, and yet again, I wouldn't call Drain hardcore at all at this point. And I don't mean they're not hardcore, therefore they are bad. I'm just saying this is not hardcore. Not that I'm even interested in, you know, debating what is or is not hardcore. But I mean, if I was a polka band and I said we're hardcore, we're not hardcore, even though I say, you know, Drain is a 90s alt rock band, you know. I think people, and I guess here's maybe where my annoyance comes with the band. I don't want to beat up Drain so much, but with Drain is hardcore, the word has certain connotations, most of which are cool, and some of which are slightly threatening, which I enjoy. Drain is a very safe band, but by calling themselves quote hardcore, I guess they sort of get that bonus affectation to their image, and therefore people think it's maybe cool and slightly dangerous because it's hardcore, but it's not hardcore at all. It's alt rock, it's Bush. It's Third Eye Blind. It's The Verve.
Would you go so, yeah, Verve. I always forget about that band.
Everything, even The Verve did.
It's
Yeah.
making a comeback. Who knows? It'll be a 90s alt rock fest everywhere now.
So,
Oh, wait, do you watch Bob's Burgers?
no. I mean, I've seen it.
Okay, they did an episode that was like, there was a 90s alt rock channel, and they were like kind of parodying a bunch of like the songs and stuff. And a car gets left in front of the restaurant that has that station playing, and Bob is like losing his mind.
Because he likes it or he hates it.
He hates it. Everyone else
I
likes
hate it
it.
too.
I
I hate
was
90s
like,
alt.
ha.
90s alt rock is probably the worst music there is, aside from it's probably tied with 80s hair metal, which I hate, but it's also
Oh.
tied with sort of a forgotten genre of music, which I don't even exactly know how to describe it. It's like late 80s, early 90s, college synth. Bands like Timbuk3 and and bands like that, like just these terrible. And the reason I'm
Oh,
focusing on
okay.
these bands is because at one of the record freakouts, actually one of the early record freakouts, I let the sellers make playlists,
Okay.
and See, alternative pop, I guess, is what Timbuk3. Anyway, they're terrible. Sorry, Timbuk3. And
Mm-hmm.
so I let the sellers each make a playlist if they wanted to. And this one, which I never did ever since. This one guy did all these like terrible late 80s college rock bands. And I don't even mean like art bands like REM or the Breeders, who I kind of like bands. Like, I mean, just like these really bad like bands that were like on IRS records and stuff, like the late 80s, like bands like Tim. I'm seeing if I can look up any other band. Like,
It's all Timbuktu3 or
yeah,
whatever.
it was like all Timbuk3 and terrible bands, like Viva, and like, let me think, I'm looking up some other stuff here real quick. But it was just like the worst. Like when I listen to bands like that, I'm like, where's the music? Like, I don't know, I'm not where's the music, where's the song? Like, all I hear is a bunch of like terrible 80s percussion and some like blips and bleeps. And that's all I hear. I don't hear any actual song in there, you know. Timex, Social Club. Actually, I'll take that back. Cutting Crew, Communards, bands like that. Club Nouveau, bands like that. Even like, I know people like Psychedelic First. I'll throw them in there, but maybe they're not as bad. I know people like them. Company B, Pseudo Echo. Bands like M. Have you even heard of any of those bands?
I think I've heard of the, but that would just be like I saw it on online somewhere. I've never listened to them.
I know
Oh, I've
people
heard of
love.
Psychedelic Furs, but I haven't listened to them either,
I know
actually.
people love Midnight Oil in Australia, but oof, you know,
I
oof. I would say Will the Power, but I actually like Will the Power, even though that's like considered like the worst song ever.
am
Anyways,
not familiar. Why is it considered the worst song ever?
Will the Power did a cover of, I'm trying to think, Baby I Love Your Way and Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, and it's considered like a horrible, horrible song, but I actually kind of like it. I think it's kind of good.
Oh.
They made like a dance version, and I kind of like it. So, anyways, I
That's
guess to
funny.
teach their own. So yeah, so who am I beating up now, and why am I talking about it, M?
I'm not really sure.
Well, that shows
I
you what's
don't
up.
know how we got here. Oh,
We,
Drain.
oh,
You're
Drain.
beating up on Drain, and then it
I don't
came
know.
into this.
See, and I'm always so. I mean, I at this point, I'm torn. 10 years ago, when the podcast started, I had no problems tearing into bands. Like, well, actually, we never really torn to like small bands that no one cared about that much, because that just seems petty. So we would like,
Yeah.
take shots at Green Day or whatever, because he can take it. But I mean, people want our opinion, and people want to hear differing opinion and debate on the podcast. And I am not into Drain. I am not into Speed. I am not into
Oh, that's fair.
Tsunami. I'm not into any of those bands. I'm totally not. Who's the really big one?
Military again?
No, I'm not in the military, and I've seen them. The even bigger one that's like huge these days,
Turnstile?
Turnstile. I'm not into Turnstile at all. And so on one hand, it's like, isn't it a good look for me to be beating up bands on the Punk News podcast? It's like, I hate this band. Well, I don't hate them, but like, this band sucks. But on the other hand, like, if we just like say we like everything, that's the most boring show ever, you know? But on the other hand, I'm not trying to be mean spirited. I mean, the most of those bands are really probably just trying to have fun and write music, and some of them are trying to get very popular, which I can't fault a band for trying to get popular. That's really what most bands want to do. So I don't know, Em. I mean, should I keep beating up on bands? Should I cool off on that, you know?
I think it's just if it's your honest opinion on it,
Yeah.
then share your honest opinion on it. You know, like you're not doing like, oh, I don't like this band for, you know, in our, you know, I don't know. We all have different musical tastes. We all have different opinions. Like again, you know, and that we need that. If it was just like, do you like this? Yeah, you like this? Yeah, it's kind of like you said.
And this goes back, actually, this really goes back to a dynamic that Adam White pointed out, former editor Adam White pointed out literally like 15 years ago, in that he said roughly the punk scene can be divided into two spheres, and one sphere is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and one sphere is getting smaller and smaller. Though actually I would say Drain and those kinds of bands are sort of separate. The one sphere is punk is my, I hate to use the word safe space, but safe space where there's like-minded people, and we're a unified force, and we agree on certain things and want to be in this club together because we're not in other clubs.
Yeah.
And the other sphere is punk is the danger zone where chaos rules and you can try whatever you want because it's the freedom zone, and it's where you can get freaky, it's where you can get dangerous, it's where there are no rules. And I definitely come from the no rules school, and I enjoy that aspect of punk so much more than the we're all in the same club school, which I'm really not interested in at all, you know.
Fair
And
enough.
so Drain and those kinds of bands are in that school, but I would argue whereas bands like Drain and Tsunami and Turnstile maybe are even a little bit more offensive to me is in the other school that I just spoke about, we're the same club school. There's generally a certain type level of politics and self-reliance and sort of ideals or values that are held by the punk community, right? Very Fugazi-ish, you know. Whereas Drain and Turnstile, I don't feel like they even have that. It's really just the this is the popularity club where not in the popularity club. This is the club where everyone comes and we all agree on stuff. And it's safe. And that's us. Turnstile and Drain. That's, I mean, if the music wasn't so boring, I wouldn't be as adamant about it. But you know, it's like they're so, I guess what you know what I'm getting aged out of punk, or punk is, you know, and I forget which artist it, I think actually I'm gonna paraphrase Ian MacKaye. He had like a some kind of a statement where I didn't change, punk did. And that's you know a very real thing in that like a lot of what's punk these days, I'm really just not, or what's called punk, like the safe stuff, I'm just not that into. On the other hand, is you can't stagnate and be the exact same thing for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You got to morph. You know, I just wish it wasn't as, but what it is, it's why does it always morph into something safe and boring instead of weird and dangerous? That's my question. And that's why I like a lot of M'more bands, because a lot of those bands are weird and dangerous. You know, bands like Le Cibou Grand and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because like they also make a point to have those like safe spaces at their shows and make sure that like everyone feels welcome and feels accepted. I feel like they're kind of like the best of both worlds, so to speak. You know, like they have music that's exciting and challenging and there's a lot going on, but they also have the like we're in this together, we're going to look after each other, and you know, we're going to stick by our values and that we sing about, we're actually going to practice them. So it's really interesting when you look at bands and what they say and then how it's reflected in their actions.
Well, there you have it. I'll tell you what is cool though, man. Toy Dolls are working on a new record.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of vague. They were like, we're in the studio working on stuff, and then we're playing some shows. Toy Em, are you a Toy Dolls fan? You know the Toy Dolls?
I know the toy dolls. I enjoy some toy dolls,
I
yes.
love the Toy Dolls. I think the Toy Dolls are great. My this is not even a regret, is one time I had the option to see Toy Dolls or Gwar on the Bloody Pit of Horror tour. And I chose Bloody Pit of Horror, and I'm not sorry because it was an amazing show. And as we know, Dave Brocky would die a few years later, so I'm not sorry I chose Gwar over Toy Dolls, but I am sorry I didn't get to see Toy Dolls. And they rarely play the USA, if ever anymore. And I and Punk Rock Bowling has been somewhat clear about this. Is he said he's tried to book the Toy. I think I'm getting this right. I could be incorrect. I could be misspeaking. So don't hold me to this. I believe the issue as to why Toy Dolls don't play USA hardly at all is because the amount of money they want per show, you can't make it work out on the finance end wise of throwing the show. Which, I can't blame a booker for not booking them if the cost is too high, but I also can't really blame Toy Dolls of wanting a certain amount of money because. You know, their art is worth, you know, is worth money and should be valued. But on the other hand, sometimes bands want ridiculous money when it's like, you know, you're not a $50,000 act. You know, you're like a $6,000 act at best, you know. So what are you getting by not playing shows when you could be making some money playing shows, you know? So anyways, I don't
Sure.
exactly know where Toy Dolls fit in with that, but I'm psyched for the new record. I mean, even though all the records, you know, the past 20 years of them have basically been the same, I still love the Toy Dolls.
Like AC/DC.
Yeah, well, but to be fair,
Not
I
really.
as much as I love it, I love AC/DC. Every album, frankly, after For Those About to Rock, well, actually, that's not true because Ballbreaker is really good and Razor's Edge is really good. And actually, also, Flick the Switch is really good as well. I would say every AC/DC album after Ballbreaker really has been. Fine, like fine, you know, it's like not a whole lot of spark. And frankly, with regard to that, is I would place that on Angus Young and Malcolm Young, who kind of, you know, really did kind of made clear that ACDC is our band and the rest of you are our employees. And I get no pleasure in beating up Malcolm and Angus because I think they're arguably two of the best, greatest guitar players in all of rock. And I would say ACDC is probably the most rocking band ever. And I freaking love ACDC. But because they kind of said, we have complete control over ACDC, the music became cliche of itself and kind of generic. Whereas if they had a little bit more spice, maybe they would have always been ACDC. But kind of more like the Ramones later albums, where they're not as good as the early ones, but each one is interesting and has interesting tracks because different people are contributing. Whereas with AC/DC, you know, Stiff Upper Lip and Rock and Roll Machine, and there's one or two other ones I'm missing. I own them. Black Ice, and there might
Black
even be
Ice
one other
is
one.
Good.
Is it just, you know, there's really not a whole lot of specialness or even uniqueness there. It's like, here's AC/DC, just like, you know, here's a bag of rice. Whereas Toy Dolls, I would say their newest albums, they're not as good as the classics, but, you know, it's very hard to be as good as your earliest era, usually. They're really enjoyable and have a lot of fun songs on them. Some of their songs, I would say, do even stack up to some of the classics. I know one of the newer Toy Dolls albums has a song called, I'm going to pull it up real quick, like, I Need Beer or something, which I actually freaking love that song. I'm going to pull it up real quick. It is called, it's from the album after the last one, which, and there's a song called Beer, B-E-E-R, Beer. Check it out. It's fun.
Beer.
So, yeah. So, Toy Dolls. And what do you think the new Toy Dolls record is going to be like?
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be at least one song that's completely off the wall. That's my prediction.
How much would you pay to go see the Toy Dolls?
Oof. $30.
$30?
You?
Well, I like the Toy Dolls a lot. I might pay up to like 60 on. Yeah, I don't think I'd
For
see
sure.
myself paying 75, but I love the Toy Dolls. I'd pay up to like 60 to see them. But a better
yeah.
question, do you think a Toy Dolls North America tour is going to happen ever? Or do you think you're going to play like Punk Rock Bowling or even Pooja Fest or something like that? Probably not Pooja Fest. Mm. They're not really Pooja Fest vibe, really.
They could be Pooja Fest vibes. Like,
really?
Like, yeah, like, I didn't go this year, but like the lineups are pretty well-rounded for the most part. Like you can get a little bit of everything. You want some ska, you can get some ska. You want some hardcore punk, you can get some hardcore punk. You want just regular punk, you have that too. They had Bête en Armée this year, the Montreal Oi Punks.
I saw that band. I wasn't blown away by them. I mean, I thought they were fine. But I have trouble getting into non-English bands that has lyrics.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But also, like
you learn French that way.
I mean, they're cool. They're perfectly fine, Oi. But and if you're into Oi, I mean, that's interesting right now. But like right now, you can be a perfectly good non-original Oi band, and people will love you. You know,
sure.
Why do you think Oi is like so hot in the past like 2 or 3 years, Em? Like it is kind of a thing right now. Like there's
it
Oi,
is. Yeah, it's on the moment.
There's Oi bands that are playing like $10,000-$15,000 guaranteed shows, which is insane because Oi bands usually get about $75, you know. and so it's crazy. Like Oi is like really having a moment right now. Do you think it's because Cox Bar is retiring, even though Cox Bar isn't strictly Oi, but they are kind of one of the forerunners? Mm-hmm. You think that's it? Like you think it's Cox Bar? Because actually, of course, we talked this on Mara's podcast. Is Cox Bar sold after a Hollywood show in literally like 20 minutes? That's insane, Em. Let me look at the capacity here. I mean, I'm not dissing Cox Bar, but I mean, they sold out faster than like Patti Smith, faster than Morrissey,
oh,
faster
wow.
than like whoever. You know what I mean? What's the capacity here? Let me pull this up real quick. The Hollywood Bowl capacity, Em. Wow. And what do you think the capacity of Hollywood Bowl is? Sold out by Cox Bar in 20 minutes. And this is going to blow your mind. Like, it's blowing my mind. I thought it's way bigger than I thought it was.
I'm going to go way higher, and I think I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to say 15,000. That's
even higher, Em.
Are you serious?
17,500.
Oh,
that's insane.
That's so many
I
people.
mean, I would have guessed Cox Bar, and I would have been
Wow.
wrong. I mean, I know they headline Punk Rock Bowling a lot, or but they don't want any more. But I would have get
Yeah.
it, well, and actually, I just saw them at a club show with about 300 people. I would have guessed the Cox Bar was about a 500 capacity kind of band. 18,000. Wow. And like I said,
That's nuts.
I saw Cox Bar and I liked it, but I like, why is Cox Bar so huge, Em? Is it because they're like one of the very last, like, look at it this way, Em. Cox Bar sells about six times what the Dams sell. That's insane.
That is wild.
Let me make sure I'm right that they are playing the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that. That's insane. Let's see here. Hollywood, no, Hollywood Palladium, not the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh,
That makes,
okay. It's like, oh, how big is the Hollywood
well, that's way different.
Palladium?
Okay, that makes more sense. Hollywood
Okay.
Palladium is 4,000, which is still big, but that makes more sense. I can understand that Cox Bar is one of their final show in USA is 4,000 people. I can understand that. That's still huge, though.
Sure. It is a good size, yeah.
I wonder how much tickets were. Let's look to see how much tickets were while I pull this up. Let's see here. Cox Bar, Hollywood Palladium. And would you fly out to see Cox Bar Hollywood Palladium?
I think it would be a great show. I've never seen Cox Bar live, and like I like a couple Cox Bar songs, but I never really got into them.
Why is Cox Bar so huge, Em? Wowee!
What is how do tickets
Oh
price?
no, I'm looking at resale, I think. I'm really
Oh.
jumping the gum a lot on this episode. So, well, okay. So here's what ticket sales will be. Actually,
Okay.
ticket sales are going to be rough. Wow. Ticket sales, and this is an estimate. Ticket sales will be roughly, give me a second here. Wow. About $300,000 for one show in.
Oh, Jesus.
For Cox Bar. Now, if that was like
That's
Billy
a
Joel or
lot.
whatever, you'd be like, that's like nothing. You know what I mean? But like for Cox Bar, wow.
That's so much. Oh my
And
gosh.
they have two almost sold out shows. Well, good for Cox Bar, man. I mean, like, I got nothing
Yeah,
against
great
Cox
for
Bar.
them.
I interviewed him once and he was cool. I think his name's Colin. Isn't it Colin of Cox Bar? Like every English person's named Colin. I've never met an English guy that wasn't named Colin. Colin McFall, that's his name.
There we go. Yes, it is a he is a Colin.
Nice guy, cool guy. So hey, good for Cox Bar. But and why is Cox Bar so huge? Why?
I think people are looking for like saw or songs and bands that are like, hey, we are together. We are having fun. We
That's
are
it.
united,
That's
you know,
it.
because like it's such a hard time right now. So I think that's why also we're seeing like the Oi resurgence.
That's it. And that's why Drain is so big too. It's the exact same
Yeah.
thing. You're right. We're here and we're together. Unlike
We're
John B.
here.
Butch is like, I hate the world. I want to suicide and do drugs and kill you, which is my favorite kind of bands. So yeah.
What a description.
So when
That would be a funny band bio.
That would be a good band bio. When Surfboard gonna put out a record? And if ever, and right now, gamble it.
Ooh. Okay,
Surfboard,
gambling.
will there be a new record or will there never be a new record for Surfboard?
I think there's going to be a new record in mid 2026, and I think it's going to be self-release or not self-released, surprise released. That's what I was going for.
I kind of feel like there's not gonna be a Surfboard record just because they put out, and I wish there was. Surfboard is literally probably my favorite newish band, even though they've been around like 10 years now. You know what? They're not my favorite newish band. They're one of my favorite newish bands, along with Crazy in the Brains and Catbite and some other cool bands. But still, I feel like there's so much discord and like starting and stopping. That's never a good omen, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes you wonder.
Let's talk about Amoeba, What's in My Bag. Amoeba, What's in My
Oh,
Bag
sure.
is the show that Amoeba has. It's really just a commercial, but it's a pretty cool commercial, frankly,
It
where
is.
famous people shop at Amoeba Records, usually artists and musicians, but not always, and they talk about the cool records they bought there. Finn Wolfhard was on, and do you care about Finn Wolfhard? Do you care about his band? And did you watch his Amoeba, What's in My Bag? And
I
do you
like.
and do you like Amoeba's in My Bag, or is it really just a very smart commercial that makes you feel manipulate it?
I think it's both. I think it's the intersection of advertisement and entertainment, where you kind of get so sucked in, you kind of forget you're being advertised to. Like you're they're trying to sell you something, which is always the best because it's so insidious, right? It gets in your head, and then you're like, oh, you know, this is it implants in you, basically. That's not the word I wanted to use, but you know what I mean? Like, it's now when you think of a record store, you're going to think of Amoeba first. So I think it's very smart. And again, to do it in a way that is very entertaining, that's like, who are they going to have on next? I really like the Kathleen Hanna one. That one was pretty fun. Finn Wolfhard was in a couple pop videos. He was in Guilt Trip and he was in Sleep in the Heat. And I liked him in those. I never listened or I haven't listened to his band. They were like on the cover of Exclaim. I think they're called Calpurnia. Not out of any reason. I just haven't listened to them. I should listen to them and just see what they're all about. I did not watch his Amoeba in My Bag, though.
Is Finn Wolfhard getting too much coverage simply because he's in Stranger Things, and therefore something that might be mediocre is getting a lot of coverage? Whereas if we just some guy, no one would care about it.
Well, have you listened to his band? Like, do you know what they sound
Yeah,
like?
it's fine. It's fine. He seems like a nice
Okay.
kid.
I don't know. I don't think so. Again, I don't really have an opinion because I haven't listened to his stuff. He seems like a decent person, I guess.
Yeah,
Do you
but
think
so
that's what's happening?
do you think a band should get coverage just because they're nice people?
I don't think just because they're nice people, but I think it definitely helps.
Do you think what if someone's a real jerk but they make awesome music? Should that person get coverage?
As long as they're a jerk in the sense that they're not hurting anybody.
Well, what if they're like really rude to people? That's hurting people.
That's hurting people, but like, it's not being abusive towards people. I don't think there's a reward for bad behavior, but like, if someone makes really good music and calls me an asshole, then I'm like, well, I'm not supporting you and I'm not going to listen to your stuff.
Well, would you agree there's a difference between them calling you an asshole personally and them just being jerks overall?
I would agree. Yeah.
Like if I was
Yeah, it's a
interviewing a band,
situation thing.
if I was interviewing a band that I thought was real cool, or but they were like super rude to me, then I would not cover them, you know.
Yeah, personally.
But if they were rude to, like I'm sure David Lee Roth's been a dick to a whole bunch of people, but I'm definitely still
Oh, fair
listening to
enough.
Van Halen, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's if they're personally rude to you, then it's like fuck you. And if they're not personally rude to you, and other than just kind of being kind of a dick, like they haven't done anything horrific, then
And
it's it is what it is.
what's your favorite band, M?
My favorite band would have to be
Is it MCR?
it's MCR. Well, I don't know. Like I have a couple. MCR, Bikini Kill, Pup, and Single Mothers.
If Gerard Way, let's say you get an interview with Gerard Way and he's a total asshole to you, would you still be a fan of MCR?
I would, but it would be kind of in a different way, if that makes sense.
In what different way?
Like it would be, I can't change that these songs have meant a lot to me and continue to mean a lot to me. So in that sense, I'm still interacting with it. And I'm just kind of choosing to, not bring an outside experience into it.
See, I'm lucky that I really haven't had that many bad experiences interviewing bands or inter I mean, I've had some, but not really, less than 1%. But on one, the singer wasn't even just an asshole to me. He was pretty uncool. And
Oh
so, but
no.
I was lucky in that there's a version of the album that I love with a different singer, you know?
Oh,
And I'm like, oh, well. There you go. So yeah. Anyways, let's talk about one other thing briefly, and then we'll wrap this shorty episode on up. David Byrne was also an Amoeba What's in My Bag. And
Oh,
I don't know why, man. Like, I like the
he's
Talking Heads a
back.
lot. I like the Talking Heads a lot. But like David Byrne just annoys me so much, and he comes off as such a prick. Like he portrays himself as almost like your nice older uncle, like I've said before. But in, like everyone says, he's just a total asshole if you know him, you know? And like I said,
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if I can find that quote by I think it's Chris Franz. Like, if you knew David Byrne like I know David Byrne, you'd know he doesn't hate anyone more than himself or something like that. I'm trying to look that up. So anyway, I don't know. And what's your stance on David Byrne? And do I have it all wrong? Is he actually nice?
I think he has some things going on. I don't. What were you gonna say?
Here's the quote. I just found it in 2 seconds. Chris Franz, if you knew David Byrne, you would not be jealous of David Byrne. Bam!
Oh, jeez. That's intense.
That's from The Guardian in 2020.
Oof, okay. Yeah, like I think he definitely has a public persona, and I think he's not the person that we perceive him to be in real life. I think there's a pretty big difference between the two. I think there are some artists where they're very much like what you see is how they are, and they're not hiding anything,
Top
you know?
three, what you see is who they are, Em. I'll go first, and all you think about him. A,
Okay.
Penny Rimbeau. He is Penny Rimbeau. He really is, you know. Number two, Black Dahlia of the Dwarves. Well, actually, that's not Black. People think Black's like this insane guy that does drugs all the time. He only does drugs some of the time. So I'll take that back. So
Some of the time.
I've got Penny Rimbeau, who's the real deal. Keith Morris is Keith Morris, and you know, warts and all. I think everyone understands who Keith Morris is.
Of
And oh,
course.
third one, great example. Although R.I.P. Ari Up definitely was Ari Up. Like the person you saw on stage was Ari Up. Go ahead, Em.
So like this is based off of like interactions we've had with them, right?
Well, or you can go off any analysis that you've done yourself.
Okay, I'll go with what I know to be true. So I'm gonna say Frank Iero. He is a really, really nice, very down to earth guy. He really cares about what he does and is very sweet and very patient. I interviewed him and I said, "How are you?" three times because I kept forgetting that I'd said it. And he just kind of laughed and was like, "Yeah, it's okay." And we had a really great kind of talk and stuff. So very nice person, very genuine. The second person that I'd say would be Jenna Pup of Hears.
Oh, Jenna Pup is cool. Definitely,
Jenna Pup
definitely.
is so fucking cool. She's
Definitely true.
amazing. Like just amazing, lovely, lovely person. And the third one that comes to mind would probably be Anthony Green. And it was the same sort of thing. Like with the interview that I did with him, like he was in his car, there were like some technical difficulties. He was very sweet with everything. Gave me so much of his time, which was greatly appreciated. And again, just very down to earth and really cared about what was going on. So those would be my three off the top of my head. There's probably a
Well,
lot more. Again, been
so
very lucky. Most people have been very cool. Haven't gotten into a ton of assholes.
well, maybe one day we'll have David Byrne on the show and you know, let him defend himself or not defend himself.
We should see if he can, if he wants to be on for 700.
I bet his answer is no. However, we've got a cool interview coming up at Punk News relatively soon, maybe about 2 weeks. The Descendants talking about getting the record
Ooh.
back. And what they're up to now, so stay on the lookout for that at Punk News. And otherwise, M, when will we see them?
Next week.